So we're on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph in the Sugi of Dalet Parashios, and we're up to Bashlishis. So let's count up from the bottom of the Amud, approximately 10 lines up.
Bashlishis
Paraduma. All right. So the third of the four Parashios is Paraduma. The fourth is going to be Achodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodoshim, and Achodesh Zelachem Rosh Chodoshim contains the Parasha of Karban Pesach. So before we get to the Karban Pesach, we need Hazah for the Tmeim. So for that, we need the reading of the Parasha of Paraduma, from which we got the Mechatos. Tan Rabbanan. Ezo hi Shabbos Shlishis. So which Shabbos is going to be the third of the four Parashios? Oh, Asher's here. Shalom Aleichem. When did you arrive in the Holy Land?
On Thursday.
Yom HaTzimut. So you probably missed a different parasha than I missed, but we both probably missed the parasha. Yeah.
I tried
to get to a minion, but I couldn't.
But it was a 3.5 mile walk in the hot sunlight.
You'll have to rely on the Shitas Haramban.
The Rav said,
we don't know where the Ramban is. Because he had a Mesorah from Rav Moshe, from Rav Chaim, that there's a Ramban that holds this, that the Chi of Kriyas HaTorah is the Chi of Tzibur. But we don't know where the Ramban is. That was part of the Mesorah. So Rabbi Blau once told me that he found the Ramban. So when the Rav said, we don't know where the Ramban is, he opens up the Ramban. So the Rav closes the Sefer and he says, we don't know where the Ramban is. That's part of the Mesorah, you know, we don't know, but we know where the Ramban is, you know. In any event, so Asher, just to clue you in, we're on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph, about 10 lines up from the bottom. And we're talking about exactly which Shabbos we should read the Parasha Paraduma, the four Parashas, the special readings. And the Brisa says one thing, and we know that it's not exactly so. That's going to be the problem that the Gemara is going to raise. According to the Brisa, Paraduma, the Parasha Paraduma, should be read Kol Shesmucha LePurim Me'achreha, meaning it should be read the Shabbos directly after Purim. But that's not really so, as we're going to see in the sugi. I'm just giving a little bit of a preview, because the whole purpose of reading Parashas Parah is to attach it to the parasha of HaKodesh Zelachem, which is the parasha of the Korban Pesach, because we need Tahara before the Korban Pesach. Now, in a normal situation, what's going to happen is that you have two Shabbosos between Purim and Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So if you have two Shabbosos, then we're not going to read Parashas Parah immediately after Purim. We're going to push it off by one Shabbos. So the Gemara now quotes another statement which contradicts this price. So Itmar, Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Omar, when do we read Parashas Parah? B'Shabbos Shabbos Hasmucha L'Rosh Chodesh, L'Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Right, we want to get a smichus, that's our goal, between the reading of Parah Aduma, so we get the Efer HaParah for Tara purposes, and the reading of Chodesh Nisan, which is HaChodesh HaZelachem Rosh Chodesh, because that Kriya contains the Korban Pesach. So we want to go directly from Parah into Korban Pesach. So therefore we should push off the Kriya of Parshas Parah by one Shabbos. Instead of reading Parshas Parah immediately after Purim, we should read it the next Shabbos. It would be the last Shabbos before we read Parshas HaKodesh Zelachem. So Gemara says, Lo Pligi. There's no machlokas here between the Braisa and Reb Chanina, because they're both addressing two different scenarios. So the Gemara starts with the more classic scenario, and that's going to explain Rabbi Chama, Reb Chanina. And Rabbi Chama is going to have a hafsaka. There'll be one Shabbos of vacation, so to speak, without a special kriya between Purim and the next parsha that's special, that's unique, which is Parshas Parah, that's going to be pushed off by one Shabbos. So we're going to have that hafsaka Shabbos. Why? The Gemara says, because the Ikla, we're talking about a case of a coincidence of Rosh Chodesh Nisan b'Shabbos. So if Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls on Shabbos, and now we have to set up a smichus such that the Kriya of Parshas Kapara is immediately before the Kriya of Achodesh Zelochem. So in such a case, you'll have an extra Shabbos after Purim before we get to the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And therefore, there's going to be a Hafsaka. So that's where Reb Chama made this point, and he said, Kol Shesmucha, I'm sorry, and he said that Shabbos Hasmucha L'Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So if Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on Shabbos, which means we're going to read the parasha of Achodesh Zelochem on that Shabbos, then we're going to take a break after Purim. One Shabbos after Purim, we'll have no special Kriya. And then the following Shabbos, that's going to be the last Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and that's the Shabbos on which we're going to read the parasha of Parah. Ha, but the Braisa, the Ikla, when Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls, be Emtza Shabbos. It falls in the middle of the week. So if it falls in the middle of the week, therefore, we're going to read the Parsha of Parah immediately on the Shabbos following Purim, because we're going to have to be Makdim, the Kriya of HaKodesh Zelochem, Rosh Chodeshim. So in such a case, we won't have an ability to have a Hafsak. So, Rabbi Osa, my goal for this morning is to try to get to the next Mishnah, which is on Daf Lamed Amud Beis. I'm not saying we're going to get there, but I'm hoping we'll get there. Now, there'll be certain pieces that you'll have to bear with me that we'll probably have to fit in tomorrow, because I just got off the plane last night, so I don't know whether it's day or night now. I probably slept about 4 hours in the last 48 hours, so I'm just going to try to do the best we can. So today's shiur will be more of a sort of a Bekiya shiur. You know, we're going to learn it a little bit on a more fast pace, and hopefully to this afternoon or this evening I'll be able to fill in, and then tomorrow fill in the blanks. Okay, so we're up to the fourth reading of the four special parashios, and that's HaKodesh Zelochem. And our Mishnah here on Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis says that we have to read HaKodesh Zelochem on the fourth Shabbos. Tana Rabbana. Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechalios B'Shabbos. So now we have a coincidence of Rosh Chodesh Adar and Shabbos. Okay, so now what happens is the following. If you recall, the last thing that we discussed, which was a good couple of weeks ago, was that the first of the four parashios is going to be the parasha of Shkolin. And the reason for that is that on Rosh Chodesh Adar, the Mishnah says they were machriz al hashkolim, because by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, a month later, they had to have all the new monies that were collected, the shkolim, for the Trumas HaLishka, for the new karbanos of the year. So we gave them a month's notice, so to speak, a prior notice to get ready and gather you together shkolim. So now, if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls on Shabbos, then on that very Shabbos, we can read Parsha Shkolin. That's what the Braisa codifies here. And then the Braisa says that the whole purpose of Shkolin is in order to buy the Karbonos for the Beis HaMikdash. So that there's a relationship here between Shkolin and the Beis HaMikdash, or back in the day in the Mishkan. Now, we have a principle with regard to the Haftorah that the Haftorah should be Me'ein HaParsha. And that plays a very major role here with regard to the Dalet Parashios, because normally, if it wasn't the Dalet Parashios, then Me'ein HaParsha would mean that the Haftorah has to reflect some sort of theme that's central to the Parsha itself. And if we apply that rule to the four special Kriyos, then we're going to read the same Haftorah that we would have read even if it wasn't the Kriyos. But because we are adding a Kriya, well, we'll see another Mandi Yomar later that we're substituting a Kriya, but now we're going according to Rabbi Yirmiyah. He holds that we're going to add a Kriya. So we're going to have, let's say, seven Aliyos on the Parsha, or maybe the last Aliyah will be left for the special Kriya. Well, maybe it's only the maftir, that's also going to be an issue. But whatever it is, we're going to complete the Kriya by reading that special parasha. The Haftorah now has to be a replacement Haftorah. What I mean by a replacement Haftorah, I mean we have to find a Haftorah that reflects not the theme of the Kriya Saparasha of that regular Shabbos, the regular Kriya, but rather has to reflect the theme of the extra Kriya at the end of the parasha for that special Kriya. In this case, he's reading Parsha Shkolim. So the Maftirin, the Haftorah, comes from Yehoyada. Yehoyada lived at the time of Yehoash, and he was a king who initiated an entire process of fixing up the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Beis HaMikdash was left to some sort of a misuse, and it wasn't there wasn't a better kabbayis the way that they have to do, and therefore he was mesaken at the time of Yoash a gathering of monies together. They collected, he calls it a kibbutz mos, and the purpose of this collection, of this contribution, was for better kabbayis. And that makes it very similar to shkolim, although again shkolim is not really for, it's not earmarked for better kabbayis, but it's earmarked for the karbonos of the bayis. So that's called me'ein, that's called me'ein akriya. Again, it replaces the normal haftorah for that parasha with a haftorah that links up to shkolim, the special reading. The Ezo Hi Shabbos Rishona. So what would be the first Shabbos of this sequence of four Shabbosos with special Krios? And we're going to go through the various Haftoros that reflect the four special Krios. The first Shabbos is Kol Shechal Rosh Chodesh Adar Lios Besocha. That if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls in the middle of a week, so then on the last Shabbos of the month of Shvat, we're going to read the parasha of Shkolin. Oh, now what happens in a case where Rosh Chodesh is on Erev Shabbos? Which means that you have two choices, and this is going to be a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, which we discussed in the if you were following in the interim period. And that is, the normal shot would have been, and that's Rav Shita, that we would read the parasha of Shkolim 6 days before Rosh Chodesh, right? Because if Rosh Chodesh is on a Friday, on the Shabbos before that Friday, we're going to be Machritz. That's the sheet of Rav. Shmuel, on the other hand, is of the opinion that in such a case, we're going to actually read the parasha of Shkolim into Adar, which means on the second day of Adar, the Shabbos following Rosh Chodesh Adar. Notice he doesn't want to separate the Kriya of Parashat Shkolim by a full 6 days. And the Gemara early on Daf Chav Tes goes through an entire logical reason. This Brisa that we're reading now seems, at the face of it, to reflect the Shita of Rav against Shmuel. Because it says that if Adar falls in the week, if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls in the middle of the week, then we're going to read the Parashat of Shkolim on the Shabbos prior, the previous Shabbos, even if Rosh Chodesh Adar is as late as Erev Shabbos. So there's a long discussion in the Mefarshim as to how Shmuel is going to interpret this Mishnah, this Brisa. In other words, can we reconcile this Brisa with Shmuel when the Brisa seems to be explicitly reflecting the Sheet of Rav that always, even in the case where Rosh Chodesh Adar is on a Friday, we still read Parsha Shkolim on the last Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, which means 6 days before, towards the end of the month of Shvat. That's the simple reading of this Brisa. How do we reconcile this Brisa with the Sheet of Shmuel? So I'm just going to read to you a footnote here that I have here in the Masifta, and he says the following, that Shmuel has to reinterpret this Brisa. And according to Shmuel, here's the way we read the Brisa. Eze Shabbos Rishona Shekorim Ba Shabbos Parshas Shkolim Kol Shechal Rosh Chodesh Badar Lios Ba. And Lios Ba doesn't mean in the middle of the week, but it means on Shabbos itself. So again, when the Brisa says that the Parsha Rishona, which means Parsha Shkolim, is going to be the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, that's because Rosh Chodesh fell out during the week. Okay, so that's the first part. So I'll read it one more time. Ezi Shabbos Rishon Shekorim Bo Parsha Shkol Kol Shechal Rosh Chodesh Ador Lios Ba. Okay? So now, what happens if Rosh Chodesh falls on Erev Shabbos? That's what this price wants to add. Vafilu Bi Erev Shabbos, meaning Afilu M'chal Rosh Chodesh Bi Erev Shabbos, we still Ma'achrim V'korim Parsha Shkolim Be Osa Shabbos Al Afshehi Beis B'chodesh. In other words, this halacha of Ma'achrim, that we should delay the reading of Parsha Shkolim, applies even when Rosh Chodesh is on a Shabbos, which means that by definition we're going to read the Parsha of Shkolim on a Monday. Okay, let's go on to the second Haftorah. B'shnia, Now we get to the second parasha, which is going to be read, which is going to be read on the Shabbos before Purim, is Parsha Zohar, and now we want to know what is the Haftorah for Parsha Zohar. Now, in most cases, there will be a Hafsaka of one Shabbos between Parshas Shkolim and Parshas Zohar. And maybe we'll get to, I don't know if you have it in your Gemara, in the Masifta, they have a very long and complicated chart in which he charts out all the Hafsakas, depending upon, you know, which days. You have it also? Oh, okay. So again, I'm not sure if we're going to do that today. That's one of the pieces of the puzzle we may have to fit in tomorrow. It's enormously complicated exactly to work out the possibilities of the Hafsakas. And the reason why Hafsakas are so important is especially true according to one man, the Omar, which we'll get to in just a minute. That's Rav Ami, because Rav Ami holds on all these four special kriyos, we completely drop the regular kriya for the parasha. So on the Hafsakas, we're going to go back to the Seder of parashas. Okay, fine. So what's the Haftorah for Parashas Zohar? Pakadati, I'm going to read the whole pasuk. Eis asher osa amolek liYisrael. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this pasuk appears in Shmuel. Can somebody check me out on that? Oh, in Shmuel. So this is a dead giveaway here to the question I'm about to ask you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Pakadati, I remember that which Amalek perpetrated against the people of Israel." To whom is HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressing himself? Who's he talking to when he says Pakadati? Shmuel. Right. It's a dead giveaway. It's in Sefer Shmuel. And what's happening is, this is the first time since the time of Yoshua that the mitzvah of destroying Amalek came back into action, so to speak.
Is this,
you know,
where we learn that you have to have that? Is this why we say you have to have a king first before? Because
correct. It's only after Shmuel appoints a king, namely King Shaul, now the mitzvah of Machias Amalek comes back to the fore. It becomes active. However, it's very fascinating that the opening line in this parsha is Pakadati. Now, why do I say that that's fascinating? We have two mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, and the other mitzvah is Mechias Amalek. And the big question, this already back in the Rishonim, is whether or not those two mitzvahs are interdependent. They form one entity. And the nafkamina is going to be the following. Whether or not women are obligated, noshim, in the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. Now let's assume, again, what I'm about to tell you is a very problematic assumption, but it's true what I'm about to tell you, believe it or not. And again, it's very problematic, but it's absolutely MS. Women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. So you'll have to accept that at blind faith. It's very problematic, because women are obligated in mitzvahs Melchama, and Lechora Amalek should be a classic mitzvahs Melchama, Melchama's mitzvah. Okay, but let's accept it on blind faith. Women are exempt from the mitzvah Melchama. Maybe they have to supply food and water on the back, in the back lines, but they don't actually go out to Milcham. Again, as I say, that's a discussion unto itself. Now the question is, are women obligated in the mitzvah of Zohar? So it really depends upon this question. If Zohar and Mechias Amalek is one entity, then if to the same extent that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Mechames Amalek, of Mechias Amalek, by definition, ipso facto, they're exempt from the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek.
Wouldn't they also just be exempt anyway because it's a...
No, it's a lav zman grom. Women should actually technically be included in Zechiras Amalek because there's no zman grom. Anytime you remember Amalek during the course of the entire year, you could be yotzei the mitzvah. Again, this is all very complicated because the real issue is whether Zechiras Amalek is d'oraisa or not. Bli Neder, if you give me a few minutes, I'll get to that. It's a major, major controversy. But let's assume the kriya of Parshas Amalek is d'rabbanan. It's only d'oraisa if during the course of the year you weren't Zohar Amalek. But if I was Zohar Amalek any time during the course of the year, even outside of the framework of Kriyas HaTorah, I was yotzei the mitzvah.
So, yeah, what's yotzei the mitzvah? Is it those particular psukim, or is it just
remembering Amalek?
Okay.
So why am I pointing this out to you? Because the Haftorah itself for Parshas Zohar seems to indicate a connection between the mitzvah of Zohar and the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolech. Why do I say so? HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Shmuel and he tells him that this is the moment that the mitzvah of HaMolech comes back to the fore. And how does he introduce that? By saying Pakadati. Pakadati means I remember HaMolech. So the Mepharshim say, remembering HaMolech, which is the opening line, the opening verse in this parasha that we're going to read as the Haftorah for Parasha Zohar, means that you remember HaMolech, and after you remember HaMolech, then you do battle against HaMolech. So if the introduction to the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolech is Pakadati, which is the reason why we read this Haftorah of Pakadati on Parasha Zohar, that it means that there's an intricate connection between the mitzvah of Zohar and the mitzvah of Mechias HaMolech. Because otherwise, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to introduce the mitzvah of HaMolech by saying Pakadati? Again, you may find other approaches and other answers to this question, but I'm just telling you that the classic answer to this question is that these two mitzvahs are Haba HaTalia. They really are interdependent. They form one broader entity. And therefore, women should be exempt from the mitzvah of Zechiyas HaMolech because they're not chayiv in the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMolech. And Pakadati is an introduction to the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMolech. In any event, V'ezu Hishava Shniyah, right, so we've already read the parasha of Shkolim. Now we're up to the second parasha, which is the parasha of the four special parashas, which is called Parasha Zohar. Kol Shechal Purim Lios Besocha. So in other words, let's say Purim is on a Monday, a Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever day of the week it is, then we're going to go back to the previous Shabbos, right before Purim, and we're going to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolech. Why? Because Haman is Mizera HaMolech, as we've discussed a million and one times. Now the Braisa adds another point. Vafilu b'Erev Shabbos. Now, the simple reading of this Braisa indicates that if Purim is on Erev Shabbos on a Friday, then we go back to the previous Shabbos 6 days earlier to read the Parsha of Zohar. Now, that once again, that makes sense according to Rav. But according to Shmuel, Shmuel doesn't accept this 6 day separation. He would like to postpone that special reading of the parasha till after Rosh Chodesh. So now we have Rosh Chodesh was in the case. I'm sorry of Rosh Chodesh Adar, but in the case of Zohar, would Shmuel again insist that we delay until Shabbos, which means the day after Purim?
It would still be Purim, it would be Shushan Purim.
Oh, excellent. You got it. You chopped it. So they want to say that Shmuel might insist, even in this case, and therefore he's going to have to once again reinterpret the Brisa like we did earlier in the case of Parsha Shkolim, that we postpone the reading of Zohar until the next day. And one of the reasons why they push in that direction is because the 15th of the month of Adar is Shushan Purim. So we're still within the context.
Would he therefore also hold that of Shabbat if it fell on Shabbat, which I know we don't have now, but if Purim fell on Shabbat, then he would...
The 14th, and you'd read it on the 15th, which is the first day of the week, of the new week.
If Shabbat was the 14th, would you read Parshat Zohar on the 14th then?
Okay. Yes.
And that would be according to both Rav and Shmuel?
Correct. Then Rav and Shmuel would agree. B'shlishis, now we're up to the third of the four, and that's Parah Duma. Again, we had a discussion earlier about whether Parah Duma is read on the Shabbos right after Purim or the Shabbos right before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and that depends upon when Rosh Chodesh fell out. But what is the Haftorah for Parashas Parah Duma? Maftirin Vizarakti Aleichem. Now, this is really interesting. Vizarakti Aleichem is the way that the Novi Yechezkel calms or comforts the people that we down on earth undergo a process of Tara, but up in Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately the force or the agent that brings down Tahara. So let's read the entire pasuk. It says, V'zarakti Aleichem, God, through the Navi Yechezkel, promises that he will sprinkle, I guess you'd say, the Mayim Tahorim, right? V'zarakti Aleichem, Mayim Tahorim, Utahartem mikol tumosechem u mikol gululechem atayer eschem. So I once heard from my Rebbe, but he didn't say it in this context, in a totally different context, that although the Hazah is done by the Kohen, he takes the Mechatas from the Paraduma and he sprinkles it on the Tameh, but ultimately the Tara comes from the Ribono Shalom. So that the man is only an agent down here on this earth, but God is the one who's Matar someone. And he said it in a very interesting context. You know, it's very rare that my Rebbe used to quote the Zohar. That wasn't his thing. I'm not saying he didn't know the Zohar, but just saying that, you know, in Shia, like, you know, if somebody would raise their hand and say, Rebbe, the Zohar says, I mean, the Rav would look at him like he's, you know, from Mars. But in this case, the Rav actually quoted the Zohar. And the Zohar says that on the Pasuk in Parshas Chukas, when it says Behiza, it says that the Maza is the Ribono Shalom himself. So even though physically there's a Kohen who's a Maza, but really it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who brings about Tahara. And in that lecture, the Rav said that the reason why the Zohar is so insistent, and I think this Pasuk in Yechezkel also supports the Zohar, that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's the Matayer, he's the Maza, is because when it comes to Misa, when it comes to death, we have no way of purifying ourselves from death. Death means the ultimate vulnerability of man, and man has no power, no ability to stave off death. We're all mortal, and we all face that end. And therefore, if there's such a thing as Tara, as purifying oneself from Tumas Mess, it has to come from the Ribono Shalom himself. If you're ever interested in reading this, there's a rabbi who's no longer alive, but he did a fantastic job summarizing the Rav's Chidushim, and that was, his name was Rabbi Avram Bezdin. Mean anything to
from
you? Rabbi Moshe Bezdin, his brother, his older brother, was in YU. He was a Rav in Brooklyn, and he took it upon himself to take a whole series of the Rav's public lectures and transmit them in two books, which are called Part 1 and Part 2, Reflections of the Rav. It's a great work. So if you're ever interested, or I could bring it in if you're interested, there's Reflections of the Rav, and he has a whole discussion here about this pasuk, V'taharti, Taharti Esk. Berevius, now we're up to the fourth of the four parashios, the last of the four, HaKodesh HaZeh, U'maftirim, once again we're back to Yechezkel HaNovi, Ko'amar Hashem Elokim, Borishon V'echad LaChodesh, and then the pasuk speaks about the korbanos that are brought. So since Parshas HaChodesh is a parsha that we read because of Korban Pesach, then the Haftorah, which is taken from Yechezkel, that reflects the first of the month, and specifically the korbanos that are brought during that time period, therefore it's appropriate, it's Me'ena Parsha, that we read that particular Haftorah. Now it's interesting. It says here in the Gemara, HaChodesh HaZeh. Do you see that? And that's only part of a pasuk. I want to read to you the entire pasuk. It says, HaChodesh HaZeh. So I emphasize for a moment the word HaZeh. Lachem, for you. Rosh Chodeshim. And then it says, Rishon Hu. Lachem L'Chodesh HaShana. Emphasize the word Hu. Now all the Mefarshim are perplexed by this pasuk. You know, the Gemara says that this is really the first mitzvah in the Torah, and that the Torah should have even started with this pasuk. So it's a very important pasuk. And yet there seems to be a redundancy, because the first part of the pasuk says that this month is the first month of all the months of the year. And then the Torah repeats itself, and he says, Rishon hu lachem l'chodesh hashana. It's for you the first month of all the months of the year. But you just finished telling me, HaKodesh is lachem rosh kadoshim. So why do you repeat yourself? The Ramban is Pirush HaTorah as a long and very complicated explanation to try to justify the two. It has to do with Chodesh Tishrei and Chodesh Nisan and when the world was created and so forth and so on. But I saw something in a book, in a commentary on the Torah called Zera Kodesh. And he writes something fascinating, that the repetition here is to emphasize Hazeh and Lochem. I'm sorry, starting again. Hazeh and Hu. Now, in grammar, the difference between Hazeh and Hu is the difference between first person, which is called in the technical language Lashon Nochach, and Hu is Lashon Nistar. So when I speak about him, that's Nistar. I'm not mentioning him. But if I say Zeh, Zeh usually means I point to something. So if I'm saying HaChodesh HaZelachem, it's HaZeh, I'm looking at it, and that's a Loshen Nochach, it's right in front of me. This is the month, and then we say who. So the Zeh HaKodesh explains that there's a fundamental difference between Zeh and who, between Loshen Nochach and Loshen Nistar. Because the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Nisan is the month of Geula. That's the month of Geula, not just for Geulas Mitzrayim, but also for all the future Geulos, or the future Geula. It's also going to take place in Chodesh Nisan. And in the piyut for Ashkenazim, who's, you know, I don't know too many communities today, some of the Yekis still, they recite the piyut for the Chodesh. So the Yotzer, what they call the Yotzros, so Rav Lezer HaKalir says that Nisan is Chodesh HaMukaf Bo Yeshuos, that there are miracles throughout Nisan. So the Mefarshim say, what is Mukaf Bo? It's surrounded by miracles. It means the miracles of Mitzrayim and the miracles of the future ultimate redemption. So the Zeh HaKodesh says that HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, that word HaZeh is a reference to Geulas Mitzrayim. Because HaZeh means when I can see something in front of my eyes. So these Yeshuos and these Nisim and the flows that took place at the time of Geulas Mitzrayim were all crystal clear. They were right there in front of your eyes. You follow what I mean? No one can deny the Esar Makis and the Kriyas Yamsim and so forth. But he says the end of the pasuk is a reference Hahu Beloshen Nistar to the Nisim HaNistarim. Nisim HaNistarim means these are the miracles that are built into the fabric of nature that are now obvious. So I don't know if you know this or you don't know this. I came back just yesterday from a trip I was sent. My wife and I had our own agenda why we went, for family reasons, to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Bikur Cholam, but officially I was sent for Yom Ha'atzmaut. And I tried to point out that Yom Ha'atzmaut is all about Nisim Nistarim, it's all about hidden miracles. So I said that maybe we could say that if Chodesh Nisan, because I spoke during the month of Nisan, we hadn't yet got up to Chodesh Iyar, I said that maybe Chodesh Nisan has this element of Hahu, and that's going to bring us to Yom Ha'atzmaut, which is Nisim Nistarim. Any event. Now we're up to Ezi Shabbos Revius Kol Shechal Rosh Chodesh Nisan Lios Pesocha. So we read the parsha of HaChodesh HaZelachem and that special kriya on the last Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Vafilu B'Erev Shabbos. And the Mefarshim say that in this case even Shmuel would agree that we're going to read the parsha of HaChodesh HaZelachem 6 days earlier than Rosh Chodesh. Meaning, even though Rosh Chodesh was Chal on Erev Shabbos, it has the same din as Rosh Chodesh in the middle of the month. And you'll see this in Rashi as well. And Shmuel would agree in this case that we could read, and we should read, the parash of HaChodesh HaZelachem 6 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, Lahalacha, we paskin like Rav, both with regard to Rosh Chodesh Adar that was on a Friday, and also with regard to Purim. Purim that's Chal on Erev Shabbos. In both cases, we pass like Rav and we makdim, and we read the special kriya on the Shabbos beforehand. Now the Mishnah says, let's take a look at the Mishnah. This is on Chav Tes Amid Aleph, on the very bottom. And it says the following. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, fine. B'chamishis korin chozrin l'kisidron. You see that two lines up before Chav Tes Amid Aleph. So now the Gemara quotes a major, major plukta with regard to Dalet Parashiyos. It's so funny that this appears at the end of a long sugya. Really, this should have been the introduction to the sugya. L'seder mai. What does it mean that we go back to the seder? And here we have the great controversy between Rav Ami and Rav Yirmiyah. Now, Rabbi Ami is going to sound very revolutionary to us because this is so foreign to us. And he says, L'seder ha-parshios hu chozer. Now let me explain. What this means is that according to the Shita of Rabbi Ami, during the Dalet Shabbosos, we don't read the regular Parshas HaShavua. It's completely omitted. Instead, in its place, we read that special Parsha. So for example, Let's take the case of Parshas Zohar, which is the second of the four. In Parshas Zohar, we have very few psukim. Very few. It's almost enough for one aliyah. Just about. Now, according to Rav Ami, we're going to read Parshas Zohar and no other parsha. How do you take Parshas Zohar and divide up into seven kruim? Because every Shabbos requires a minimum of seven kruim.
Like Hanukkah, just keep repeating.
Exactly. Just repeating it over and over and over again. This is the famous Kiddush of the Turi Evan. I always mention to you on Megillah of the Turi Evan and Shagasari. So it's really fascinating that for four Shabbosos, we're going to completely omit the parsha. I mean, you can imagine that according to Rami, there can be a lot of double parshas. But the point I wanted to make is that when it means Chozum L'Sidron, it means we, according to Rami, we go back to reading the Parshas Shavua, which we've omitted on four occasions. You know, you can begin to appreciate why this whole gigantic chart here is going to work out all our sukkos. And he has simonim for each one of our sukkos, depending upon what day of the week Rosh Chodesh falls on. It's all because, according to Rami, Ami, Havsukkah means we have an opportunity to go back to the Seder of Parshas. But after we finish the fourth, which would be HaKodesh HaZelachem, now we're ready to go back to the Seder HaParashios. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar, because Rabbi Yirmiyahu holds that when we read the Dalet Parashios, which reflects our minhag, we add a special kriya, but we don't replace the normal kriya for that parasha. So what does it mean? What does it mean, Chozun Kisidron? We never deviated from the Kisidron. And the answer is, L'Seder HaFtoras HuChozer. As we said before, on these four Parashios, the HaFtorah has to reflect those special parshas that we read at the end of the Kriya, and that's going to replace the normal Haftorah, which is Me'ena Parsha. Now we go back to Me'ena Parsha. Clear? So far so good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Omar Abaye, Kavose Dravi Ami Mistabro. You get the impression that Abaye accepted the Shita of Rabbi Ami because he held that the Mishnah that we see here on Daf Chav Tes, we'll again go back to the Mishnah and read the last line of the Mishnah, is an explicit proof for Rabbi Ami. Let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, L'chol mafsikim b'roshei chadoshim b'chanukah b'purim b'tainios u'b'mamados u'b'yom ha-kippurim. Now, notice, if you will, that this list includes, in fact it's almost exclusive, it includes weekday parshios, if you follow what I mean. So for example, the Kriya of Tainis, okay, Chanukah and Purim is a little bit more complicated because Chanukah does fall out on at least one Shabbat. Purim, if it coincides with Shabbos, like for example in Yerushalayim we have what's called a Purim Meshulah, so we will read on Purim, we will read the special Kriya of Hamolek, you know, for as if it were Purim itself, right? We'll read the Megillah on Friday, and we'll, you know, Mishloach Manos and Sudas Purim will delay until Sunday, but on Shabbos itself, we'll read the Parashim. But Tainios and Mamados could only apply during the weekday. So let's say, for example, if a Tainis coincides with a Monday or a Thursday, then the Mishnah is telling us that we're going to be Mafsik the Kriya. So take a look at Abaye now. Kavase Rabbi Ami Mistabre. It says Lakol Mafsikim. In other words, we Mafsik the regular parasha. And on the list it says Rosh Chodeshim Chanukah Purim Tainius Mamodos Yom Kippurim. He says the following: Bishleim Lamandi Yom L'Seder Parashios Uchozer. If you're going like Rav Ami, then I can understand the Mishnah. Hainu, what the Mishnah is telling me is the Ika Parasha B'chol, that in the case of Tainius and Mamodos also, which is only on a weekday, we're going to be Docha the Kriya Satorah of Sheni V'chamishi. So instead of reading the Sheni V'chamishi, which is the Parasha Shavua, we're going to replace it with a special Kriya Vayichal, right? The reading of a Tainius. So that makes sense. Why? Because again, this Mishnah that lists Tainios and Mamodos is a hemshech of the previous part of the Mishnah. And the previous part of the Mishnah says Chozrim and Kesidron, which means we're going back to the reading of the Parashia. And Lakol Mafsikim means that even during the week, in the case of Monday and Thursday, if there's a Tainis that coincides with Monday and Thursday, we're going to replace the reading of Monday and Thursday with the reading of Vayichal. So that makes perfect sense. So Rav Moshe, if you're following the logic of the Gemara, the flow of the Gemara is that the Mishnah, when it says one thing and then says another thing, it indicates it's talking about the same theme. Unless we're going to really split the Mishnah into, and you know, break it up into choppy segments. So if it's one theme, then according to Rav Ami, the theme is the reading of the parasha. So that even on a weekday, there's no Haftorah reading, but there is a Kriya, the Kriya of Sheni V'Chamishi, and now we're going to have to undermine the Kriya of the Sheni V'Chamishi for the sake of the Kriya of Vayichal on Atinus. El Olaman Diyom, but if you hold like Ravi Yirmiyah, who says that we always read the Parashia, and the only thing that we change, and that's what it means, Chozrim, is that we change the Haftorah. So, L'Seder HaParashia HaFtorah Suchos, you're going back to the normal reading of the Haftoros, is Haftorah B'chol Mi'ika. How could the Mishnah list the question of Afsikin and so forth and so on with regard to Tainios, which is on a weekday? There is no Haftorah on a weekday. So the Gemara answers, V'idach, what is Rabbi Yirmiyah going to do to defend himself? He's going to chop up the Mishnah into two parts. There's going to be the Reisha and the Sefer. The Reisha of Chozrin Likisidron, that's referring to the reading of the Parashios. The Reisha, the Mishnah of Chozrin Likisidron, is referring to the Kriya of the Haftoros. And the Sefer that says Hakol Mafsikin, that's referring to the reading of the Parashios themselves. So let me make sure I said it right. So again, one part of the Mishnah, the Reisha of the Mishnah, when I say the Reisha of the Mishnah, I mean the Reisha of the Sefer of the Mishnah, is referring to Haftoros. Because again, you can't be chosen l'sidron of the parashas, because we never upset the reading of the parashas according to Rabbi Yirmiyah. So it must be that we're going back to the normal reading of the Haftorah, and the Haftorah now is going to be main our parasha. But the Sefer of the Mishnah, which mentions Tainios u'mamados, that's referring to Kriyas HaTorah itself. It can't be referring to Haftoros, because you know Tainios can never have Haftorah to it, right? You know, it doesn't have a normal Haftorah of on a weekday. We don't find Elowat. We're going to read, again, we'll get to Mincha later on, but right now we're talking about Chakras, but I'm saying in Chakras, we're going to read the Kriya, not of Sheni V'Chamishi, but rather we're going to read the Kriya of Vayichal, the Kriya of the Tainus. So Enochinami, even Rav Yirmiyah, recognizes that there is such a thing as completely undermining the normal Kriya, but that's only with regard to a Monday and a Thursday in the case of Chanukah, Purim, and Tainios, etc., etc. So that's what we have here. Now it comes out that according to Rav Yirmiyah, now I'm saying an introduction to the next Gemara, the next objection to Rav Yirmiyah. It comes out that according to Rav Yirmiyah, we're not docha the Kriya Satorah on the Moadim, and we only change the Haftorah. Now on this, I have to read to you something fascinating that I found here in the Yalkut HaBi'urim. And the Yalkut HaBi'urim is bothered by a question that really should bother our minds, just that we're not thinking clearly today. So if we were thinking clearly, what about Yontif? Like for example, this past Yontif, I was in Chutz Laaretz. So on Shabbos, and that's what caused this whole difficulty, yeah. On Shabbos, we read, you know, Aser Tiaser, you know, for the 8th day of Pesach, and we didn't read the Parsha Shavuot on that Shabbos. Here in Eretz Yisrael, you were reading the Parsha. That was Kedoshim? Did I get that right? Or right? Did I get that right? No, Achrim. Yeah, Achrim. Again, I'm one ahead of him. So now the question is, if according to Rav Yirmiyah, for the sake of a special Kriya of the Dalit Parashios, we don't replace and we don't undermine the normal Kriyas of Parsha, why do we do so in the case of the Moados? So he quotes the Netziv Mivalojin, very fascinating Netziv. The Netziv says the following: Bibir Taimo Sharav Ami, the Kishem Shebi Yontiv Shechalios B'Shabbes, Mafsikim Mikriyas HaParsha V'Korin Rak B'Shal Yontiv V'Lomer Rosh Chodesh. Now, what happens if Rosh Chodesh is Chal on Shabbos? So we read the Parsha Sashavua, and then we add the Kriya of Parsha Sachodesh. Now, in the case of Yontif, we don't do so. Hainu taima, mishum shekriyas haparsha, eina ela mitakonis Moshe Rabbeinu olam hashalom. Kedi isa besof perik meruba. Aval kriyas hamoados, nilmod min hakosim. Eila moadi Hashem eshet tikru osom b'moadom. So we'll literally, tikru osom means to read the Torah of the Moed.
I don't understand why does Rav Yirmiyah have a problem? I mean, you could, if you're doing the Reishon Sefer, then you can say that he's for where it says the Kol Mafsikin is talking about the whole parsha, not just Toros, but for the first part he's talking. Rav Yirmiyah says it's about the Haftoros because that's just the Arba Parshio, and that's the old Rabbanan, and it's not a, and then for the. The Kol Mafsikim, when we're talking about the Modot, then he's perfectly fine with replacing the whole Parsha.
Right, but again, it seems to be that the principle of Rav Yirmiyah is that we don't want to upset the creating of the Parsha. So when we have a special Parsha, what we'll do is we'll attach it to the regular Kriyas HaParsha. The only exception is on a Monday and a Thursday. So when we have a contradiction between the special unique parsha that we want to read and the normal parsha, that Shavua, we solve that problem by introducing Haftorah. During the week, on a Monday or Thursday, we don't have that solution, so we're going to have to replace the Kriya.
I mean, he and that's what we, I guess that's what we do, but I guess what I mean is for everything we're talking about here is Durabanan, except when you come to the actual Chagig.
Well, right, so let's assume everything. Right. Oh, so you're already answering the question that I was about to ask. The question I was about to ask is that when the Moed coincides with Shabbos, we would have anticipated. You know, if you would have given me a knee jerk reaction, I would have said that according to Rav Yirmiyah Shita, we should read the parsha and then add something about the Moed.
That's the Raisa. That's a whole
different. All right, so you're up to the answer.
We can play with it however we want.
You're answering the Nitziv's answer. I don't know if you heard the Nitziv or you're such a brilliant person that you're becoming the Nitziv. But again, before you get to this thing, trust me, Eric, nobody until the Nitziv thought that the Kriyas HaParsha on Moed was Dorais. Nobody. You have to appreciate the revolutionary idea of the Nitziv here. If you would stop a big Talmud Chacham on the street and ask him about Kriyas HaTorah, he would say it's the Rabban. Whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Ma'amados, whether it's Moadim, it's all one big Shachas. It's all Derabbanan.
Well, yeah.
Right?
So
1 second. So if it's all Derabbanan, so then on a Moed, what would be the reason why would we be so insistent? You know, if it's the four parashios, we're going to just add it on to the Kriyas HaParsha, correct? No, but on Moed, we're not going to do that. We're going to replace it. So again, if you give me a minute, so the Nitziv is coming up with what I think is a pretty revolutionary idea that Kriyas HaMoados, meaning Kriyas HaTorah B'Moados, is a Doraisa Halacha. Now, why is it a Doraisa Halacha? Because the Torah says, Eilu Ma'ad Hashem Asher Tikru Osam B'Moadam. So the Nitziv is interpreting the word Tikru Osam, meaning that we have to read a Parsha, and the Parsha is the Parsha of the Moed. Then the Nitziv backtracks a little because I think he gets nervous and he realizes how way out, you know, he's really way out here. So he says, "V'afilu imtim tzaloma she'ena drasha gemura v'rakas mata." That when it says "shetiku osam," it has to do with calling it as a day of kodesh. That doesn't have to do with the kriya. Mikol makom adif midrabanan bi'alma. Now he sets up a three pronged attack. He's got one level of Dorais, so he's got one level of Durabanan, and in the middle he has this asmakta, and therefore that upgrades the status of Kriyas HaTorah b'Moadim. Whereas on Rosh Chodesh we don't have this pasuk asher tikru osam b'Moadim, and therefore Rosh Chodesh is going to fit into the normal pattern, which we're going to read the regular Shabbos Kriya. What time is that? I just want to make sure. Oh, so I think I went over time. So Bali Neder, or both said, we'll finish this up. We're almost ready for the next Mishnah. So tomorrow I'll spend the first 10 minutes to get up to the next Mishnah.
I wouldn't have gone so far. I wasn't saying that it was the Raisa. Purim's rice. I was just thinking that since they're established the rice, that they would be, they're more chasher than, you know, they're called a Shabbos. So therefore, they're more, so he could easily say, well, therefore they can push aside the Torah reading. You know,
no, but it's compelled because on Shabbos you're not willing to push aside the Torah reading, but on Moed you are. So then it says on Shabbos it's Takonis Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a classic Derabbanan. But on Moed, it's a Tigros of its Torah. It's a wild idea to say that Kriyas HaTorah on Moed is much more important than Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos.
You're not saying it's more important, but you're saying since
well, it's not. It is because
well,
he's not willing to override the parasha of the Moedos. You know, that's he's not willing to do.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. I said just the opposite. He's not willing to override the kriyas of Shabbos, but he's willing to. But for the sake of the Moed, he's overriding. He's overriding the kriyas.
With the windows and the air conditioning.